All right, well, good evening. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And as you're turning, it's the Holy Spirit's amazing because reigns, Lord's Supper, the song he chose, the prayer, everything will dovetail into what we're going to look at tonight. So the Holy Spirit is great. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to wrap up this chapter tonight, hopefully. Getting a little bit late of a start here, but we'll try to power through. We're going to look at verses 14 through the end of the chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 14 it says, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I exhort you to be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some have become arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I shall find out, not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, you are the great, eternal, sovereign God, and we know all things are under subjection to you, either willingly or not, and that you are in control of all things. And we know that you have had a purpose for us since before the foundation of the world. And so as we continue to work through Paul's encouragement here to the people in Corinth, and we come to better know you through this message, and to better know how we are to operate as your royal priesthood and the purpose that we have in that. And so as we look in these verses tonight, I pray that it would be edifying and that it would be encouraging and that we would be further equipped as we leave here. So we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so just a quick review. Don't have a lot of time for review, but last time we talked about, you know, he's admonishing them, right? And we defined what admonishing means. It means to set your mind, right? To be reminded of things. And then we even brought out there's even a warning sometimes in admonishment. And that a problem that a lot of people have is just that they're not willing to accept instruction, okay? And that they are, we brought that out, that that's a downfall for a lot of people. They just get their feathers ruffled because someone's trying to help them. Paul's saying here, I'm not trying to shame you here, okay? I'm trying to help you get to heaven. And so we brought that out. And the challenge then is for us to be teachable and coachable. And we've been working with Zoe a lot on that lately. It's a, and even I try to remind her, you know, God tells us that we have to be students. And in order to be good students, we have to be teachable, okay? If we're not going to receive instruction, then God can't work with us. And what we brought out, if we're not willing to receive that instruction, that we will not make it. It's that serious. And so the other side of this is what we're going to look at in the second half of this. But so there's the reminder that we have. And what we looked at is Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 3. It says, to receive instruction is wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Okay? And then we also read verse 7 that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so it's important for the Christian to be able to be that malleable clay, right? That we are able to be molded. If we cannot accept this instruction, the scripture says you're a fool. Okay? It's serious business. The whole purpose, the whole goal is to receive instruction, right? Wisdom and righteousness. And so we want to be people that are teachable and coachable. That's vital for our making it to heaven. And so that's what Paul is working on them with. I'm trying to help you guys out, all right? And what we're going to bring out is that a lot of what he got was just arrogance. And he actually calls him out on it. So that's what we'll look at that. And then, you know, maybe if one of our tutors or one of our fathers, our spiritual fathers, right, as Paul is bringing out, gets on us a little bit, do we receive that with a good attitude? Do we realize that that's for our own good and for our own benefit? We also looked at Colossians 1, verse 28. It says, we proclaim him, Jesus, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Okay, so that in order for us to be complete in Christ, we need to receive admonishment. Okay, and that's why pride kills and humbleness is exalted. Okay. And some of you even came up to me and said, after last week, my last message, and said, thank you. I needed to hear that. Okay? I like to see that, because if we don't have that attitude, the attitude of wanting to win this race, we are not going to finish. Okay? And that's what Paul's getting at here. So that's the quick review. And so now picking this up in verse 17 is where we left off, is that Paul says, I'm going to send someone to you, right? I'm going to send someone to you, and he's going to remind you of some things. And we pick it up in verse 17. It says, for this reason I have sent you Timothy. I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, right? The head coach. He's going along with the coach's teaching and coaching, right? He says, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Okay? So Paul is sending Timothy to remind them of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is the key for all true Christians. Now, the Greek words here aren't the same as admonish, but they're kin to it. They're related. It says he's putting this in their mind again and again and again, right? Some of us need to be, it's not that we don't know, right? It's mentioned. We just need a reminder. And so Timothy is coming there to remind them particularly of sound doctrine, right? So we need to be honest here, brethren. Sin just ravishes the world. It destroys. It completely tears this world into pieces, and it tears people's lives into pieces. Okay, many of us have seen this. Some of us have lived it on different varying levels. But if you're if you're part of enough Bible studies and you talk to enough people, you see this in people's lives. Just completely wrecked their lives. Okay? And ultimately you end up saying, man, I hate the devil. I hate Satan, right? It's because you see the effects that sin takes in people's lives, just destroying. Multi-generational impact. I'm an alcoholic, and my father was an alcoholic, and my grandfather was an alcoholic, right? And you just see that being passed down from generation to generation. It just destroys. Okay? And I think if people are honest, and that's really what we're talking about, they realize, man, I can't do this on my own. I need some help. Maybe some of you have been there. I have. I can't do this on my own. If you're honest with it, and that's really how things are set up anyway. But what people fail to recognize sometimes is that, in the words of Steve Doty, we're dealing with a supernatural evil here, right? And what sometimes people fail to realize is that this same supernatural evil that we're dealing with is really destroying sound doctrine at every chance that he can. He's called a deceiver for a reason. Okay? That's what he does. He actually is he's the force behind false teachers, and we've talked about that previously. Right? They're held captive to do his will. To do his work. You read the book of Revelation in chapter 16 and verse 13. You see one of the primary agents of the dragon is the false prophet. Okay? So we're being reminded of this. Okay? This is serious stuff here. And so we need to take it as such. That's the number one objective for the dragon, is the false prophet. And this is something that we've got to stand on, brethren, is sound doctrine. Today, tomorrow, and for the next generation. Paul is working on this. It's a serious deal. One of the devil's primary objectives is to mix truth with lies. You know, many times false teachers, it's not what they say, it's what they won't say. Okay? It's the little lie here and there. You know, and you walk away from that, 95% of it's truth. 5% of it's going to send you to hell. Okay? And that's exactly how the devil operates. He makes it look good, right? But it's not the original. And so we as Christians, we really need to continue to stand on sound doctrine. We need to continue to stand on truth. And so Paul was sending Timothy to Corinth for this very purpose. You know, he says, as I teach everywhere, in every church. So the church should be united in sound doctrine then, right? Okay, well, but the flesh has tendencies, doesn't it? The flesh has tendencies. We tend to slow down instead of speed up in our singing. Right? It's a big problem. Okay? It's a challenge, right? And so there's a natural tendency as you grow older to get soft instead of strong. Right? You know who you are. I didn't look anyone in the eye, so it's okay. There's also a tendency for us to forget instead of remember, especially with old age, right? Especially with old age. We need reminders, okay? And Paul is giving them this in these verses. You think about this. The first day of the week, you think there's a reason that Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me? Maybe because we need a reminder? Think he knew that? You think about the apostasy, right? The great falling away. Why was that even able to come about if we're standing on sound doctrine? I mean, part of the reason was because the Bible wasn't available fully yet. But really, the apostasy, the great falling away, was, and really Catholicism was the big one, right? Catholicism. How was it able to take roots, right? And it's a great symbol for the false prophet throughout the whole world. One of the reasons is because there's a gradual acceptance of false doctrine. You take a little bit here and a little bit there and a dash here and a dash there, and it's not really that big of a deal. It won't really matter. All behind this, remember, there's a supernatural evil running his program. That's how the great apostasy, the great falling away happens. We've got to take a stand within the body of Christ on sound doctrine. So there's the need to remind, put into our minds again and again and again, over and over and over, right? Turn to 2 Timothy. That's what the scriptures are, is they're reminders, right? They're warnings. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, right? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I used to think, what? Sound doctrine needs to be endured? Yeah. Yes. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and we'll turn aside to myths. Brethren, understand something. Our focus here is on the family business, right? Evangelism, right? Seeking and saving the lost, because that's what Jesus did. And rightly so. But brethren, understand, with evangelism ceases to be evangelism if it's not preached with sound doctrine. It no longer is evangelism. And you can go and you can get a bunch of people and you can fill a building with thousands of people and build a multi-million dollar building somewhere. That's not what God wants. That's not God's purpose, right? That's not the purpose of the kingdom. Matter of fact, what we learn is that the Pharisees, they traveled halfway around the world to make one proselyte, right? And the proselyte turned out to be twice as much a son of hell as themselves. Right? They weren't saved. They were sons of hell. These were Jesus' words. So just getting people in pews isn't the purpose of the church, is it? It's through sound doctrine that we will save souls. This book is able to save your souls, really? Okay, well, you better stand on it then. Sound doctrine. The Lord asks us to make disciples. What is a disciple? A follower of Jesus, right? People that are willing to follow sound doctrine, His doctrine. And I'll add on the side for a freebie, it's clear and obvious through scriptures that we need shepherding along with that. And that's a whole other message. But so here, how are we going to determine who's willing to follow sound doctrine? We preach sound doctrine. We preach sound doctrine. Those who are willing to go with this, who are willing to take the knocks, like, oh man, I don't like how you said that. I'm mad. Does that happen? Yeah. Do people leave? Yeah. Do people come back? Those are the disciples of Christ. Okay, it might poke you, it might prod you, but if you are a truth seeker, if you hear the Lord's voice, is what the scriptures say, then you'll follow it, right? If you're willing to go with it, if you're willing to stand on sound doctrine, then you're one of God's chosen ones. Those who are of me hear my voice, right? If you're not, then there's plenty of places out there that will be happy to keep you comfortable on your way to hell. Plenty of places for that. But again, that's not the mission of the Lord's church, is it? This is serious stuff because people want to have their ears tickled. Right? Just like the family pet. Oh, scratch my ear. Oh, I'll do anything for you. Right? People just want to be told what they want to hear. And if you'll do that, they'll do anything you want. How much money do you want? Here you go. Right? You're tickling your ear? No, don't do that. No, that's not the purpose of the Lord's church. We got to continue to stand on sound doctrine. That's our job. Even when it gets uncomfortable. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it talks about people who basically won't go with sound doctrine, and it says that they are conceited. And that's the key point in some of the verses that we'll look at down the road here. But there's the accusations that come, right? So many times that those who stand on the truth and those who will continue to stand firm on the truth is, what, we're arrogant. We're arrogant, so we'll bring that out down the road a little ways. But you check it out, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3-5. You can read that on your own. It brings that out. But then, of course, we know that also that Peter encourages, when he's writing, he encourages them and says, "I'll continue to remind you of these things." Right? I'll continue. It's not a problem. Right? So, brethren, as long as we have faithful men here in leadership, myself, I'll speak for everyone, Mr. Simpson, Mr. Toole, Mr. Schaefer, Mr. Miller, Mr. Lorenzo, we will preach sound doctrine. Are people going to get upset? Probably. You know, but sometimes we may not take into consideration who might be listening. But, you know, I remember the words of Jesus says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So we'll preach the truth. And if someone gets upset, you know, it's great. If someone gets mad, okay. They ask questions, right? That's okay. I would much rather stand on firm doctrine than to let someone, to be worried about offending someone. Let them work it out. That's not our job. Our job is to preach the truth. And if we've had people get offended, that's not on us. We're going to tell the truth of the scriptures, right? And so this is the assembly of saints, right? It's brought out. The purpose is to equip us to do what? To teach sound doctrine, right? With the conviction to go and preach it to others. Bottom line is we need to make God happy first, not people. And so there's a word in the scriptures called repent, right? That means change your way of thinking. You change your way of thinking. Change your way of thinking to match that of God's way of thinking, okay? Well, guess what? Generally what happens when you tell people they're wrong? They get a little upset. Sometimes they get upset. Okay, but it's the same message that John the Immerser preached. It's the same message that Jesus preached. It's the same message that the apostles preached. And it's the same message that we're supposed to preach. We stand on firm on sound doctrine. And what some of those in Corinth weren't standing firm, were they? These guys that were causing divisions, right? You know where divisions come from? It's from people running their own agenda, contrary to that of Jesus, right? In arrogance, right? And we see that word a lot with these guys. You realize that? And these guys were arrogant, as if Paul wasn't coming to them, right? Paul's going to set them straight. It's just amazing to me, the criminal mindset is that, oh, we won't get caught. Oh, it'll be okay. You know, well, I've gotten away with this so far. Really? Are you sure? Okay. These guys think that they're going to get away with not of what they're doing in Corinth, and Paul's going to set them straight, right? And they're talking tough, but Paul calls them on it, doesn't he? He calls them on it. He questions their power. By the way, just a little word of warning. A lot of times when guys are talking tough, you know, bully type guys, they're really not ready to go. Typically. They're really not ready to go. What's the best thing you can do to a bully? Smack him in the mouth. Smack him in the mouth. You know what scriptures tells us to do that? Spiritually speaking, Mr. Schaefer's like, really? Really? In Titus 1, you check it out, in verses 10 and 11, it says, empty talkers, and they need to be silenced. Smack them in the mouth. Even if you got a hard back, even if it's not. Right? Spiritually smack some people in the mouth sometimes. They need to be shut down. Okay, in closing, wow, I'm doing great. Turn to Jude. I'm surprised. Turn to Jude.
1 minute?
Yeah. I got you. My watch says 5. Oh, wait. 5 hairs passed. Jude, verse 16. These are grumblers, finding fault, following their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Man, that word arrogant shows up a lot with these guys in Corinth, doesn't it? Might be talking about them. I don't know. Jump back to verse 12 then. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead and uprooted. Here's a biblical question for you. What sort of fruit do these guys have? None. None. So in the big picture, brethren, we need to remain teachable. We need to receive instruction, and we need to be able to receive correction. And then, who are we going to go to for help? Oh yeah, the guys that have fruit. Those who we want to listen to help us make it to heaven. That's what Paul's doing here. He says, I'm not trying to shame you. I'm admonishing you. I'm trying to help you get to heaven, right? Words are powerful, right? Words have meaning. And they have meaning if they're united with faith. And for it to have results in our lives, we need to stand on God's words because they're powerful, able to save your soul. Okay, but it has to be in accordance with faith. We need to stand on sound doctrine, brethren. The kingdom of God has moved forward not just with works. Okay, understand that. It's not just with works. The kingdom of God moves forward by faithful words that are put into practice by faithful men and women like you. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, we are grateful to you. We're grateful that you have chosen us to do your will here on earth. And everything that we do is to bring glory to your holy name, and that we might hasten the day of Christ's return where we get to go home. Until then, we have work to do. And help us along the way, Lord, that we can help each other. And through the words of your scriptures, the word that's able to save our very souls, that we subject ourselves to that authority and that we stand on it as the pillars and support of truth. So we thank you and praise you for all of these blessings through Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, everyone.